Well, hello and welcome to Money Wisdom. John Stillman here alongside Eric Hogarth, certified financial planner and partner at Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. Eric, what's up, man? How are you?
John, I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Doing great. And we have a fun show today. I mean that sincerely because we're going to talk about the intersection of Jerry Seinfeld and retirement planning.
Dreams do come true. Yeah. It's a big day.
How do those things fit together? Well, you'll find out in just a moment. If you'd like to get in touch with the team at Johnson Brunetti, you can call or text 800-705-1232 if you'd like to set up a time to visit with them. 800-705-1232. All right, so the game we're going to play, Eric, is I'm going to give you a Jerry Seinfeld quote. Some might be from the show. Some might just be from his stand-up. Some of these quotes could even be just things that he's said in interviews. So I'll give you the quote, and then you're going to weave it. You're going to spin it into retirement planning wisdom, okay?
Okay. Let's go.
First one of my favorites. I'm not going to try to do the voice, okay? So just assume, pretend like I'm saying this in Jerry's voice. But sometimes the road less traveled is less traveled for a reason. All right, what's our retirement planning angle on that quote?
There are certain things you do not have to reinvent the wheel on. You know, things that have made sense to do, like saving for retirement, it makes sense for a reason. I mean, it's so much of the stuff that we talk about is general. Well, you should do this and you shouldn't do this. But the reason we're always talking about this visit and this consultation is it's very specific to you. So again, be cautious. Don't, you know, be very cautious taking advice, making changes based on advice coming from people who don't know the specifics of you. But again, don't overcomplicate some of this stuff that sounds like it makes sense, because sometimes it's what you should be doing, right? The simplest thing.
Absolutely. All right. So don't reinvent the wheel is the lesson.
Don't reinvent
there.
The wheel.
How about this quote? It's amazing that the amount of news that happens in the world every day always just exactly fits the newspaper. What did Jerry Seinfeld have up his sleeve in terms of financial wisdom when he said that?
You know, what are newspapers doing? This is not to get all political on it, but they're selling news, right? I remember talking to a gentleman, it was a long time ago. And he said, you know, when I was a kid, you know, I read the paper and that was it for the news. And now you have news channels that are on 24/7. Well, is there really 24/7 worth of stuff to talk about? Maybe there is, but if at all, the only thing it ever does is just terrify you into, you know, a paralysis of being able to do anything. Let's focus, again, let's simplify and focus on the things that actually are going to have an impact on you that you can do something about, because, you know, the way to get started is to start. So I could see this as a way that people get pretty overwhelmed pretty quickly, is thinking about everything and we got to solve all this, and no one can do that, not all at once.
Yeah. How about this? That's the true spirit of Christmas. People being helped by people other than me, said Jerry. What's our financial planning twist here?
You know, a lot of stuff out there is, you know, someone should, you know, really take care of that. Well, there's someone dropped a couple bowling balls in the street. Someone should really move that. Maybe you should really move that. You know, when it comes to, you know, your financial plan and your retirement, you got to put some work in here. Is that some of this stuff is not going to fix itself. If you're bad with money, you are bad with money. You're the only one that can fix that. So some of this stuff, it needs to be addressed. And again, you're going to drive yourself a bit nutty if you're trying to tinker with all your stuff all day, every day. But there's a balance to this stuff. Is, you know, ignorance is not bliss. If you don't look at this stuff, you might find yourself in a bad position later on in life that was totally avoidable if you just put a little bit of time in or asked for some help along the way.
So there are some things some people can't do for you, is what you're trying to tell me.
That's the more concise version of
usually
what I just said, yes.
When I was a kid and my dad was going to the bathroom, he would say, I'm going to go do something that nobody else can do for me, which I guess is kind of the same concept. How about this? Jerry Seinfeld says, confidence, I think this was from an interview. He said, confidence is a fascinating commodity. There's no upper limit on the usefulness of it as long as it doesn't bleed into arrogance. I like that quote. That's actually some wisdom instead of just snarkiness from Jerry.
Yeah. you know, Eric, why don't we just get out of the market when it's high, wait for it to go down, get back in, and wouldn't that work better? Yes, right? But, like, we don't have a crystal ball. And it's really dangerous when you start thinking that you've got this thing figured out that no one else seems to figure out. Read about Warren Buffett, you know? He's been investing for decades and decades and decades and decades. You make money in the market with time in the market. Like, the rules don't change. People change. Your situation changes. But, like, that remains the same. So we want to have confidence in what we're doing. You should understand what your plan is. Do you have to be able to write a prospectus on it? Not necessarily, but it's your money and you need to understand what it's doing. But where people get in trouble is, well, that doesn't apply to me because I'm smarter than that. We're not. None of us know what we don't know. And if you talk to any, you know, person out there that seems real, real smart, one thing that they do know is you cannot possibly know everything. So they surround themselves by people that are an expert at this one thing, or they're an expert in this thing, and then you build a plan off of that.
Well said. All right, one final Jerry Seinfeld quote for you. I am so busy doing nothing that the idea of doing anything, which, as you know, always leads to something, cuts into the nothing and then forces me to have to drop everything. When you hear that quote, Eric, what do you think of as far as your clients and retirement is concerned?
Retirement's an interesting thing because if you ask, and I've said this before on here, you ask a 40-year-old, what would, you know, would you retire today if you could? Woof, absolutely. Absolutely. You ask a 65-year-old and say, well, you can retire. Well, now they have to think if they want to retire, and a lot of people don't because, you know, a big part of someone's life is work. And if you are going to retire, and I mean, I talked to some person, a person once who said, I kind of feel like retiring is the end of usefulness. And I was like, oh boy, that's a
kind of a downer.
Why would anyone retire if that's how you feel about it? So you got to think about, do you want to retire? Are you ready to retire? Whether it's your choice or someone else's choice, but, you know, you got to remain active in what you're doing because a lot of times people say, you know, I don't know how I got all this stuff done while I was working because they're so busy doing all the stuff you want to do when you retire. But, you know, you want to have a plan for when you retire as well, of what life is going to look like, because I want it to be everything you want it to be. So spend some time talking about what you want it to be.
Well, the Money Map Retirement Review is a great time to talk about what you want retirement to be. How does that whole process work, Eric? And how can somebody get in on it?
Well, you can call us to schedule the free consultation. The number, as I said before, 1-800-705-1232. You will leave a message. We will call you and schedule a visit, and you'll come in and we'll talk about this stuff. You know, most folks we're talking to are either retired or about to, and come in saying something along the lines of, you know, this is what I've saved, or this is what we've saved, and how am I doing? How do I take the money out? What about taxes? What about Social Security? What if I get sick? You know, all those things are on people's minds that you should have a plan about when you still have time to make some changes about it. So it's just a conversation. Then after that, we'll build a money map. We'll sit down together. And the goal is to make this easier for you. So I really encourage you to call 1-800-705-1232.
Once again, 800-705-1232 is the number. That's 800-705-1232. You can call or you can text. If you're texting, just be sure to include your first and last name, and we'll take care of you from there. All right, you're listening to Money Wisdom. Eric Hogarth is a certified financial planner and partner at Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. Eric, we have a couple questions in the mailbag I want to get to. Let's do those at the end of the show. First, I wanted to talk with you about the biggest assets that people have, because a lot of times I think people don't really stop to think about, well, just what are my biggest assets when it comes to my financial planning? So if you really took inventory of your financial situation, you might find that you have some assets that you've been taking for granted. Like, as an example, Eric, this is probably not one that people take for granted. I think most people assume that their 401k is their biggest asset as retirement planning goes.
Absolutely. But what they don't really take into consideration is, well, why has it done well? Because you always saved money into it and you largely didn't tinker with it. And you did that forever, right? 10, 20, 30, 40 years. And you never took anything out of it. Now you're going to retire. You are going to be done saving into it. And now you might start taking out of it. Drastically different. And a lot of times people say, well, it's done well, so why would I mess with it? It did its job well, but its job was to accumulate assets, and your needs are now different. So take the time to look at this. Even if you're not retired, if you're close to retirement, you can probably move money out of it. That is not a recommendation. That is making people aware of the fact that you have an option you might not even be aware of, and it might be something you should do. Because most Americans, that's the biggest retirement account you have, is the money you saved at work. So make sure that you keep it.
So a lot of people might think of their house as an asset, but they don't necessarily think of it as an asset when it comes to retirement planning, because, you know, you can't use your house to go buy groceries. But how might it factor in to the retirement plan as one of your biggest assets?
Well, you know, Connecticut, right? A lot of people talk about, I might leave this state when I retire. And recently we've had this big surge in real estate valuations. And people are like, well, should I sell my house? Well, okay, slow down a sec. Where are you going to live? Right? Because the likelihood that you sell your house for a good price and you buy another one at a good price is close to zero, particularly if you're going to stay in the same place, in the same state. But your house is most certainly an asset. Where this really comes into play later on in life is, well, you know, I'm going to give my house to my kids. Do your kids want your house? Because 99 out of 100 times, they're going to sell your house. And if the end of your life is a bit of a financial struggle because you're trying to leave your house untouched, why? Right? I wouldn't advocate, you know, you do something drastic, you sell it for cash, you do a reverse mortgage. I also wouldn't rule out stuff if it's going to help you. So get some advice on it because you have options with that house.
I think for a lot of people, they would say, well, my biggest asset is my house, whether they think of it as a retirement asset or not. Mm-hmm. Other people would recognize their 401k as their biggest retirement asset. We've addressed those too. How about this one? This is a weird one to think about as a big asset. But your Social Security, Eric, that's not something you can pass on. But, you know, from a retirement planning perspective, that's a big asset.
Your Social Security is going to grow every year you don't touch it, right? Maxes out at age 70. That's where you get the most money, and that's where you're guaranteed to get it for the shortest period of time. So when do you draw Social Security? Do not listen to anyone else, right? Get some advice specific to you, because this gets into, is it just you? Is there a significant other? Did you save money? Did you not? You know, the more money you save, the more flexibility you have. But if we keep it real simple and think of two chunks of money, all your money on one side, every dollar you've ever saved, the other side is Social Security. You die, where's the Social Security go? Nowhere. Goes back to the house. All your money, you die, where's it go? To every person and thing that you care about. Why would you spend your own money if you could spend someone else's money? Look at Social Security that way. But there's a lot going into that. You most likely should not trigger your Social Security benefit early if you're going to continue to work and make too much penalty, because you're going to get a big make too much money because you're going to get a big penalty. So take time with Social Security, because it is a big decision and it is a lot of money. Regardless of how much of your retirement income it's going to be, it matters. So put some time into it.
It would be interesting to see a comparison where it was like, all right, if you had, because, you know, when people have a pension that gets bought out, mm-hmm. they might have the option of, okay, you can take $2,300 a month for the rest of your life, or you can have $457,000 in a lump sum. Mm-hmm. Would be interesting to see if people could tell what the lump sum equivalent was of their Social Security. You can get $2,100 a month, which represents X amount in dollars. Maybe people would pay a little bit more attention. Like, you would need this amount in dollars if you wanted to create a lifetime income stream like that. Does that make sense?
That does make sense.
Maybe people would pay a little more attention. But certainly we don't want to give people the option to take the lump sum, because think of what disaster would ensue when people take the lump sum, blow it, and then don't have any monthly income. Anyway, we're talking about your biggest assets and how they factor in to your financial planning. All right, this one's a little weird, Eric, because it's a big asset that maybe you haven't realized yet, and that's your future savings potential.
I like this one, future save, because a lot of people, okay, if you're in a good financial place, you don't have to save for retirement in retirement. But if you're good at saving money, you don't really stop when you retire either. You know, and this is why you got to have those conversations to figure out what amount of money are you going to spend on a monthly basis, which of course we don't know, and it's a moving target. But if you boil it down to three different buckets of money, you've got bucket number one, how much do I need to keep the lights on? Bucket number two, I'm going to need some extra money. Go on vacation, fix a hole in my roof. Bucket number three, something needs to be growing, right? Because if you don't need the money for income, let it grow, right? There was this famous quote, at least I think it's famous, by John D. Rockefeller, who's asked about amassing wealth. He said, do not pay taxes on money you are not using. People are like, yeah, obviously. Well, then why does everyone do it? Right? And we take out this money and we put it in our Bank of America savings account, which I feel like I can poke a little fun there because I have one, and we earn nothing on it. And people come in and say, this cash is not doing anything. You know, we all need cash. We all need that cushion. But if that number's getting bigger and bigger and bigger every month, let's have it grow. Because you're living longer and longer. Things are costing more and more. And the more growth you can get, the better. It's just got to fit into what you're comfortable with.
All right. So last thing to mention here when it comes to your biggest assets in retirement planning, sometimes it's a bunch of smaller assets. Eric, have you ever seen anybody who comes in and they have, I don't know, $500,000 in their 401k and they're thinking of that as their biggest asset? But then they have all these old 401ks that they've left at old jobs. And one of them is $100,000 and one's $92,000 and one's $127,000. And then they have all these little other accounts that have kind of gotten scattered around at different places over the years. Well, if you add those up, they actually might be the biggest asset that somebody has, but they're not paying attention to each account individually because each one seems like too small of a balance to really warrant their attention.
I see it all the time, like most of the time. And that's why we began with the money map in the first place, is this one page plan on one piece of paper that says this is where all your stuff is and here's the total in the middle of the page. That's what it all adds up to, right? Because we know the basics. We know you should not invest all of your money into one thing. But right in line with that is you don't want to put your money into 12 different versions of effectively the same thing with a different name on it, because now we think we're balanced when in reality you own one thing. You have to make sure that each piece of your plan is adding value to the whole, and that's why I am, you know, such a big advocate of this money map. Like, I make one and my wife and I sit down and we review it, is so everyone who's in that decision-making conversation is comfortable with what's going on, what we're trying to do, and where everything is, you know, so that you can, again, feel comfortable about what you've done, where you are, where you're going.
So the first step in figuring out how to handle your biggest assets is, first of all, acknowledging what your biggest assets are, and then determining how all these different pieces fit in to your retirement plan. You're listening to Money Wisdom with Eric Hogarth, certified financial planner and partner at Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. And it's time, Eric, to open up the mailbag. Let's see what folks have for you today. We'll start with Jimmy. Jimmy says, I've heard that I should do a 401k rollover anytime I leave a job. You might have heard that on this show, Jimmy. And I just left a job last month. I appreciate the honesty here. He says, but I'll be honest, I'm pretty lazy. How involved is this process and how vital is it that I do this?
It's very vital that you look at it because, you know, what did we just get done saying about your biggest assets? Your 401k is probably going to be one of them. And, you know, when you have an old 401k, you're not getting matched anymore. And it's not, you're not, okay. I was going to say you're not losing anything to move that money over. You're going to lose access to some of the stuff in that 401k. So you don't make this decision all willy-nilly, like, put some time into it, have a conversation about it. But a lot of times it's good to move it out because all of a sudden you have more options available to you. If you work with a good group or a good advisor, it's not hard at all to do it because they will help you do it. You know, you make a call together a couple times, you say yes, and then it's done. So no, it's not a hard thing to do. It's also not a hard thing to mess up. So I would ask for some help on it because if you call up the 401k provider and say, hey, I'd like to move that money out, yeah, they'll send you a check and they'll withhold 20% federal taxes on it. And that's a mistake. So, you know, get some advice on this. But more often than not, when you leave an employer, you should take your money with you.
All right. Makes a lot of sense. How about Dave, who says, I'm 52 and getting married in a couple of months. This is the first time I've ever been married. Second time for my fiance. I don't know what I don't know as far as the financial implications of all this. Do I need a prenup? Should we combine all of our accounts and investments? What do you think?
Dave, I think whatever works for you is the way to go about doing it. I mean, I've done this now 20 years. I've seen all kinds of unique situations with people managing finances. I think about the way that you know, my wife and I have always done it, and that could be very different from how another couple does it. But if that other couple's happy and it works, then it works. From the perspective of a prenup, I think that's a personal conversation, one you should take to an attorney. That would be the protection of assets in the event of the dissolution of the marriage, which is not necessarily the most romantic way to enter into it. But I don't know what your financial situation is, so perhaps worth a conversation. There's also people that'll, you know, they were previously married, kids from previous relationships. I think it's important to have a conversation probably before you get married about what, from a financial standpoint, what are you each thinking? You know, are we merging these finances? If I die, where's the money go? If you die, where's the money go? Right? We have a house. We both own it. Only one of us owns it. There's a lot of stuff to talk about if you're in this instance getting married, you know, after you've kind of established some of this wealth.
I don't want to try to draw too many inferences about Dave from this one question in the mailbag here, but it seems to me, by the way he's phrased this question, that the communication between him and the future wife just hasn't happened. So a lot of these potential issues that could pop up down the road can be solved by just communicating now. It's amazing how much you can help yourself later by just talking it out ahead of time. Last question in the mailbag for today, Eric. This is Lisa, who says, I just inherited an IRA from my aunt, and my understanding is that I'm required to withdraw some of it. How do I determine how much I have to take out? What are the rules on this?
Well, the IRS does not make this one easy, because the so these rules recently changed. It used to be, if it was a long time ago, you inherited an IRA, not from a spouse, but literally anyone else, you'd turn it into a beneficiary IRA or an inherited IRA, same thing, different name, and you draw some money out a little bit every year for the rest of your life. That is no longer the case. You inherit an IRA now, you've got to draw money out and have it emptied within 10 years. That's what the IRS has come out and said. They've also now said that you do have to take money out every year, but it is unclear exactly how much you have to take out, which is not helpful. So I would seek out some advice on this, because if you do not take out the right amount, the penalties are big. And all you got to do to avoid that penalty is take some money out. Doesn't even mean you have to spend it. You could pay taxes on it, move it into another account. But pay attention to this one, because a lot of mistakes get made here. They don't cost anything to avoid making them.
Another thing that doesn't cost anything is the MoneyMap retirement review process. And that's where you can find out some potential mistakes that you might be about to make, or maybe some mistakes that you've already made that are still fixable. So, Eric, how can somebody take advantage of that knowledge that they would get from you in the MoneyMap retirement review?
Give us a call, you know, leave a message, we'll call you back, we'll schedule that visit. Knowledge doesn't hurt anything. You know, that number again is 1-800-705-1232, and what it is an opportunity to have a conversation about this stuff. Most people come in saying, can you take a look at what I'm doing? That's involved, and it's a free consultation, and the follow-up one's free. We don't charge anything for it, but we'll gather information about you. You'll bring statements in. We'll take a look at things. The 14 advisors, we'll sit down as a group. We'll build a map. We'll sit with you again and say, this is what it looks like to us. And a lot of times, what it looks like to us is you are doing a good job, or your advisor's doing a good job, and you don't need to change what you're doing. But now you've gotten that feedback, and hopefully it gives you some peace of mind. It's an honor for us to sit down with you and have that chat. And now you know someone you could call in the future if you need some help. At the same time, if you don't want to talk about everything, don't. We'll talk about anything you want to talk about. I just want to, you know, dig a little deeper on that prenup question and what kind of questions should I ask. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. But it starts by making that call, taking that step, and we'll just sit down, be just like this conversation you and I are having today, and we'll start the conversation.
Here's the number, 800-705-1232. You can call or text, whichever you prefer. You'll just leave a message. Somebody will contact you later and find a time to schedule your MoneyMap retirement review. So don't worry if you don't have your calendar in front of you right now. Just go ahead and call so you don't forget to do it later. 800-705-1232. Thanks so much for tuning in to Money Wisdom. We'll talk with you again right here next week, same time, same place.
Money Wisdom is sponsored by Johnson Brunetti. Investment advisory services offered through JB Capital, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Insurance products offered through JN Financial, LLC. Johnson Brunetti is a paid sponsor of the UConn Huskies athletic program.
Better Money is sponsored by Johnson Brunetti.